Hello and welcome to another episode of Comics with Normies. This is the show where I, Jared Albrick, aka the Yard Sale Artist, use my yard sale skills, find a comic book at a yard sale, and then I find someone from my life who is a normie, which is someone who doesn't normally read comic books, to read it and share their thoughts with us. The comic for this episode is going to be Werewolf by Night, number 32. It is from August of 1975. This issue was written by Doug Mensch, and it was drawn by Don Perlin, and inked by Howie Perlin. The letterer was Ray Holloway. Colorist was Phil Rock, or it might be Rache. I'm not sure how to pronounce that one. And it was edited by Lynn Wein. And for those of you who are super nerds, will probably realize this is the very first appearance of Moon Knight. And here to shed their thoughts on things is my old friend, Helena. Say hello. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, whatever you want the people out in the podcast world to know.
Okay. Old high school friend of Jared's.
We're not that old.
Well, no, you're a year older.
Thanks. You got me there.
I'm a market price coordinator for the Army Air Force Exchange Service. Mom of three kids. And as a hobby, I garden and I make soap.
She gardens and makes soap, and now she's read Werewolf by Night, number 32, from August of 1975. Now, do you have any connection to comic books other than this one that you just read? Do you watch the movies, TV shows, cartoons?
I read a lot of comics growing up, especially the old Avengers and stuff.
Oh, okay. See, I did not know that. Things I'm learning as we record. She read a lot of Avengers comics growing up. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay, that's cool. Well, I'm glad we at least picked something that's kind of way far away from the Avengers.
Yeah,
for you to read, so that'll be new and different. Okay, so like we said, we've got Werewolf by Night, number 32, August 1975. A lot of times on the show, I'll ask people, "What were you doing when this comic came out?" Neither one of us were born yet.
No.
Okay, so we don't have an answer to that
just
question for now.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out, thinking about stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Different places.
Anyways, so that question we're going to pass over today. But we're going to get really into Helena's thoughts on Werewolf by Night, number 32, first appearance of Moon Knight, when we come back from this quick podcast promo break.
Sawate. My name is Stella, and I am the host of Backroll to Oracle, the Barbara Gordon podcast. Backroll to Oracle is a podcast dedicated to Barbara Gordon, the first woman to hold the mantle of Backroll for an extended period of time, roughly 1967 to 1988. The goal of Backroll to Oracle is to examine the character's history from her first appearance as Backroll and continuing through her tenure as Oracle. Each episode looks at a vintage issue of Detective Comics or Batman, as well as other books like Justice League and Freedom Fighters, and modern issues of Batgirl and Birds of Prey. I also keep track of news involving Batgirl and other members of the Bat family, and I have a revolving series of segments like Babs in the Tube, which highlights appearances of Babs in TV and film, Shipper Spotlight, which looks at a variety of comic and pop culture couples, gives their history, and determines whether they are hot or not, Reading with Stella, which could be described as an audio drama, or just me reading a book that relates to Babs or doesn't, and of course, the mainstay literature recommendation. I have been blessed to interview writers Scott Beatty and Chuck Dixon on their Batgirl Year One work, Brian Q. Miller on his Batgirl run, Dwayne Swierczynski and Christy Marks on their separate Birds of Prey work, and the creators and actors of the Batgirl Spoiled, the web series. I hope to interview more creators and actors in the future. My goal, most importantly, is to make a fun, entertaining, and thoughtful show that people enjoy and from which they learn. Find the show online at thebatmanuniverse.net and iTunes, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter at Batgirl to Oracle. Thank you, and fly on, Babs lovers.
All right, we are back. I hope you enjoyed that podcast promo for whatever show Joe decided to put in there. In that slot, Joe doesn't pick crap shows, so I'm sure whatever it is really good. All right, back here with Helena and Werewolf by Night, number 32 from August of 1975. She totally agreed to read this, subject herself to the weirdness. But hey, like you said, you read some Avengers, so comics. Yeah. Comics in general weren't like what you weren't like, what the heck is this?
I mean,
so, but But you've come back to it after many years.
There was some stuff in there, because I guess when you're kids, you don't realize, but it's weird how they even have commercials. It's like,
yeah, the ads are a lot of fun, and they even lead
into them. That's what's almost hilarious.
Yeah, this issue does have like tie-in, and we'll talk about that in a minute. What was that Slim Jim? We'll talk about the Slim Jim ad in a minute. First of all, let's just take a look at the story. This is the point in the show where my guest, in this case, the lovely Helena, will give us her recap of what happened in the story, and I think she's going to do a pretty good job, because we chatted a little bit before the recording, and I read this or reread this a few weeks ago, and she remembered more than I did about the story. So, summary, whether you want to make it brief, make it long, whatever you want, tell us what happened in this issue.
Well, it starts out that they're in the middle of a fight, high action, and you just see this, like, creepy dude with a moon on his chest beating up a werewolf.
Pretty typical.
Yeah. Nothing you would see on the streets of New York every day. You notice as you're like listening to the fight sequence that everything he's hitting him with is like silver. It starts out, he's got the glove from the gladiators with the silver and silver boobs. And then it gets real interesting because he pulls out the little silver moon blade things and starts slinging them into him.
Right.
And so, and I guess in the middle of his pain and suffering, he decides to flashback on how all of this began.
So he does have a robust flashback in the middle of the fight.
I mean, he remembers more than I could to get the crap beat out of me.
Yeah, while I'm getting my tail whipped here, let me just think about the past.
I tell you what happened a couple weeks ago on a ski trip. So he starts talking about a ski trip that was like, I don't know, your average everyday ski trip where he almost mauled and killed a 7-year-old little girl named Buttons. And
this is so good stuff, people.
It's great stuff. I mean, why is this all movie material? And so he's, I guess in the middle of him attacking this poor child, his best friend, you know, kind of grabbed him and pushed him away. And his best friend, Buck, became, like, I guess, the subject of the rest of his wrath. And after he beats the crap out of him, he decides, you know, he runs away and then, I guess, turns back human to Jack.
Jack, yeah.
Back into Jack. And he supposedly can't remember anything where he's when he's a werewolf, but he can remember where he left his clothes. Like,
plots that out ahead of time.
Actually, he said it only took 3 hours to figure out where he left his clothes.
So. It did actually say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was like shirtless and shoeless in the snow for 3 hours.
So I guess shirts and shoes were not an option when you're a werewolf. The pants are perfectly fine.
You need pants, man.
Then it flashes to the emergency room scene and, you know, the over-emotional doctor is trying to save. And it's showing while he's waiting for his friend Jack to come pick him up. And he's like, well, after waiting for him for an hour, now mind you, it took him 3 hours to find his clothes. So after waiting for him for an hour, that's the point that he began to worry.
4 hours, he can't find Buck. Buck's in the hospital. I like how you talked about the over emotional doctors. They're yelling everything.
Yeah, they're screaming at everything, even the nurse.
It must be their first day.
I guess. He's like, so after 2 hours, he was waiting. And then the doctor starts screaming, I need the best available team of surgeons now. Is that Claire, nurse? And the nurse is like, yes, doctor, right away. So she's scared. So they're like, and then in the meantime, he hitchhikes with some old dude with a cigar in his mouth that tells him energy is what he needs to buy everything because the rich people and the Saudis have all the energy in the world.
1975.
So anyways, so he gets home, and then his dad asks him if he's okay. And he's like, well, at one point, you see, they're still working on him. And they say, well, there's nothing else we can do. So you're thinking that he's dead.
Yeah, this poor Buck. This is the guy who stepped
in. Best friend, yeah.
To save the girl, and he got mauled by the werewolf. And we think he might be dead. Go on, I'm sorry.
No, you're cool. So the dad's telling him, you know, the dad's telling him what happened to his best friend. And of course, you know, Jack gets very emotional and he wants the werewolf to go away. And at this point, I'm confused about this one comment because he was like, the werewolf, you know, the werewolf's finished and I mean it. And then the father's like, I know, son, I know. And I'm like, what does he know? So, and so anyways, his sister Lisa is at the hospital and tells him, you know, everything that's going on and how Jack is not dead, or not Jack, Buck is not dead. He is in fact in a coma. And so that all they could do is wait. And so the one mother is there and she's telling them that they all need to go home, which ironically enough, she's the mother of Buttons.
It's all coming together.
Buttons just shows up and it's like, okay, this random kid isn't as random as he made it sound. So, but the sister decides that she wants to go home with her friends Topaz.
It's a cool name.
I'm telling you, these names.
Buttons and Topaz.
Because they don't trust him because it's another full moon coming out that night.
I think I'd read a comic book called Buttons and Topaz. the only thing I want to point out of that scene that you just looked at was, like, Jack got so mad at, like, the werewolf and he can't control it and his friends aren't. He actually just, like, punches a wall and breaks his hand. Which is going to hurt him later on, because we saw earlier in the fight that the werewolf was having a hard time fighting Moon Knight because he had a broken hand.
Yeah. Well, in that case, it's Paul.
Correction. He had a broken paw.
So he gets back home, and his dad tells him, creepily enough, that there's somebody waiting him to see him. And he walks in, and it's the creepy moon dude. Which...
That's not his real name. They call him Moon Knight.
The creepy moon. But you don't know that yet.
All right. We haven't been... I'm sorry.
That hasn't been the reveal. So then, in the middle of, like, taking, I guess, this werewolf hostage or whatever, the guy decides to have a flashback. Let me tell you my life story before
we have a flashback inside of a flashback right now.
So the guy flashes back on how he was like this mercenary and he like appeared to like this board of directors and he was this mercenary and he had fought in 3 African wars and 5 South American revolutions and he worked with CIA and he knows all the martial arts and all the prize fighters. So they hire him, I guess, to obtain this werewolf, and they give him a giant stack of money. Or they tell him this is a giant stack of money.
I don't even think they said why. I think they just want him to capture the werewolf.
They want him to capture a werewolf named Jack Russell.
Jack Russell. That's funny. Because he's a werewolf.
And then that's the story. And
yeah, that's my backstory.
So you got a choice. You either come with me the easy way, or I just deliver bruised goods. Well, I guess then his dad, who, you know, invited him in while the stranger's, like, in the house, all of a sudden decides, no, I'm going to tackle him and you're going to run.
That's right. His dad starts fighting Mark Spector, a.k.a. Moon Knight. After the flashback, within a flashback, it's like watching Inception, man.
This is so many levels.
So anyway, Jack Russell, which is still a funny name for a guy who turns into a werewolf.
I never put two and two together.
Goes running out of the house, right?
Yep.
He does what werewolves do.
Changes into a werewolf.
He turns into a werewolf.
But ironically enough, this time while he's changing into a werewolf, his clothes are all ripped.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to the last time,
he had them stashed
away somewhere. So
guess he was in a hurry.
I guess. and then somehow, I guess he's running, and I'm assuming because it doesn't really say it in the. I guess it does, but. Somehow, in the pursuit of Jack Russell, or werewolf, the Moon Knight manages to catch a flight.
I think that's his own personal helicopter. And yeah, that's so, his partner, Frenchie. Moon Knight will eventually get his own series, and Frenchie's like his partner, almost like his Alfred.
Which begs to question, how did he not see the helicopter that was either on the roof or parked next to his house?
Yeah, wonder where he did park it. Maybe Frenchie was just like hovering around until he was needed.
Just saying. Yeah. So anyways. So then it shows him pursuing him. And then there's a commercial break. So it's a G.I. Joe ad. So then he, I guess, jumps down from the helicopter. And that's when he gets his first like hit in. And then it just talks about the fight.
Right.
And how the werewolf decided to slay, but then, you know, he got hit with the boot. So that didn't work.
Silver boot to the face.
Yeah, that was... And his decisions were overruled, obviously.
A lot of my decisions have been overruled by boots to the face.
I'm telling you. hasn't. So the crowd is like ready to call the, they're like, well, why are we standing here gawking? Let's call the police. So they call the police and they're like, you know, there's a werewolf fighting a moon looking dude. And I guess the police have a detective that's like the specialist on this.
On the weird stuff, I guess.
But then there's another flashback. Well, I don't know if it's a flashback, but another backstory, because that particular detective is like on a flight to Haiti. And I guess trying to obtain another werewolf. Or I don't know. I'm confused by this whole...
Yeah,
they didn't even need to be there.
The whole cop scene. Apparently, like, there's a cop who specializes in this weird stuff, but he's on his way to go check out other weird stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But, anyways, he's checking out weird stuff, and they could have just said he was on vacation. But, and then there's some weird, like, what do you call it, voodoo lady.
Yeah.
But that comes unresolved. So, anyways, it goes back to the apartment where the two girls went. And... how they're sitting there, and the one is just starting to worry because her brother's about to turn into a werewolf, and she knows it, and she's just worried. And the other one's like, "Oh, he's been here before. I'm sure everything's fine." Then the crash through the window. The minute you say everything's fine, I mean, come on, seriously, life's like that, isn't it?
Yeah,
everything is fine.
Someone smashes through the window with a gun.
Yeah, and then they threaten to take. Or he asked which one it was. Well, I'll just take you both.
Who was it that came in the window? Was that Frenchie?
Frenchie.
Okay.
So, then it goes back to the fight. And Werewolf is clearly getting the crap beat out of him.
Yeah, Moon Knight's sticking it to him.
And then he was like, but, you know, he decided to go to Berserk. So, he started getting actually in some shots. And then he's like, he gets in a couple shots. But then he's like, denied. Because the guy pulls out, like, some sort of a... It's almost like a Bobby Club or something.
Just bonked him right on the head. And Werewolf like was getting the upper hand, or paw, if you will. But
yeah, I mean it's just
his broken paw was holding him back. And then Moon Knight, like you said, clubbed him with the silver club.
Yep, then the ladies see him in the fight. And then I guess he clubs him again in the back of the head.
Just can't stop clubbing the werewolf.
And then he just remembers being grabbed and picked up and taken.
Yeah.
And then he went into a blackness. And then there is the...
Yeah, so basically Moon Knight won that fight.
But then apparently in the next episode there's going to be a shocking twist.
Well, isn't there always? Yeah, that's how it ends. Moon Knight wins the fight. He's dragging the werewolf away to the helicopter with Frenchie. I guess Frenchie's
there with the girls.
Has kidnapped Moon Knight's sister and Werewolf's girlfriend and Werewolf's sister. There's a lot of unresolved things, and that's how the episode ends. You did a good job on a weird story. So, like I said, that's the hardest part for my guests to do. They do the story recap, so we can kind of get it how it feels from their point of view. You did a good job. So, based off what you read. If you had to guess, what do you think happened before this issue? What do you think might happen in the next issue?
Well, apparently before the issue, he went on what was supposed to be a nice, relaxing ski trip, but
right.
It didn't end so well.
Right, and I like to ask that question because I like to see how well the comic did at bringing in a new reader, like giving you an idea of what's happened, and it did a good job. Yeah, he obviously went on a ski trip that didn't end so well. He tried to kill a little girl. Now, we saw at the end of the issue, Moon Knight had won the fight. He's dragging the werewolf away. What do you suppose will happen the next issue with the shocking twist?
I'm thinking the shocking twist is that werewolf's somehow going to overcome.
Yeah. Generally, when it's your comic and you're on the cover and you're in the title, you will overcome.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to overcome and they're going to become best buds.
Maybe. Because as we'll learn, this is the very first appearance of Moon Knight. He'll become something of a pretty strong character in the Marvel Universe from here in. He'll have his own series a few times. And a somewhat popular character. Maybe they will become buds. Who knows? This is the part of the show where I ask you the powers and abilities of the key characters. So our main characters here are the Werewolf by Night himself, Jack Russell, and Mark Spector, the Moon Knight. So if you had to guess on the powers and abilities, what would you say the powers and abilities are for each one of those?
Okay, well, for Werewolf, obviously, he turns into a werewolf.
Pretty much.
Full moon, and... you know, with that, he has all the strengths and quickness and stuff of a wolf. With Moon Knight, he's I mean, he was a mercenary and he had all this combat, you know, experience behind mm-hmm. him. So obviously he knows how to fight. He knows how to get the upper hand, and he can accessorize with silver pretty well.
Yes, he can. A lot of people say he's like, a lot of people say he's Marvel's Batman. That, you know, he's a really good fighter. He's good at preparing. He's got a lot of cool toys. He's got Frenchie, who's assistant, like Batman has Alfred. Obviously, Batman's insanely more popular. Had you ever heard of Moon Knight before you got this issue?
No.
Had you heard of Werewolf by Night before you got this issue?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
I remember hearing
a little bit about Werewolf, but not so much about Moon Knight. Okay, interesting. What was your favorite moment in the story?
I'm thinking the over-emotional doctors. Because I was getting flashbacks of Bones in Star Trek.
just yelling everything. It's everyone's first day at the job. They're freaking out.
Because you know how, I can't remember who played him, how he used to get like so over-emotional.
Yeah, DeForest Kelly.
Yes.
Damn it, Jim, what the hell is the matter with you?
Okay, well, that's fine. Did anything leave you super confused? Like, I really don't understand.
The flashback the backstory with the cop that obviously specializes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 4 or 5 frames. It didn't even need to be there.
Yeah,
it didn't. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, then it starts off with one dude mm-hmm. that says he's got this silver bullet marked with the name. And then he gives the guy's name, Raymond Coker. So at first you're thinking it's this dude because they go over to the dude with the bullet. But then it's the other guy that was actually the cop.
Then it flashes. So yeah, it's confusing.
And he used to be a werewolf, but he was cured. I don't know. That didn't need to be there.
Yeah, that wasn't terribly welcoming to new readers. I guess if you'd been with the series for a while, you'd probably know who he was. But I'm like you. I haven't read the other 31 issues, so I didn't know who he was either. So that wraps it up for the story part. Let's just talk quickly about the art. We'll start with the cover. Okay. It's a very mid-70s cover with the Marvel Comics Group red banner across the top. Says Werewolf by Night. It's a pretty good cover in my opinion, but we're going to find out what Helena thinks. It's basically got Moon Knight, and he's thrown a few of his moon blades into Werewolf. Werewolf is like reeling in pain. There's a woman crouching down in terror in the middle of their fight, and Moon Knight is saying, you haven't a chance against Moon Knight, monster, for the harder you fight, the quicker you die. And so it's got that real sort of engrossing 70s cover. So what did you think of the cover?
It was interesting because there's a lot of movement and stuff in it. And you can
it does capture movement well.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, he's reeling in pain. Now, the chick underneath of him, I really don't get that because through the whole story, they're fighting in the alley, just the two of them. Just, it's like, what did she just like slide in there for a photo
Yeah, quick cover shot and I'm out. Yeah, they did that a lot with covers back then. They kind of amped them up a little more than what really happened in the story to give it a real pop. So,
and then there's the bottle that's like perfectly there within arm's reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I guess he's reeling in pain, so maybe he wouldn't realize that, because he's probably in the middle of his flashback here.
That's right.
So,
well, Werewolf is flashing back.
He can't concentrate on too many things at once. Thinking, grab the bottle and hit him.
Well, that's good stuff. Now, what did you think about the art on the inside? Was there any did it stand out to you as really good? Did you think anything was like not very good, or did you think it just kind of did its job?
I mean, it did what it's supposed to. It's typical 70s kind of artwork,
mm-hmm.
but and the way it was drawn. So, I like how the color in it is not very vivid, and I mean, it could just because it's an old comic.
Yeah,
at the same time, it kind of gives it a dark. It kind of makes it seem more dark.
Yeah, which is
the story itself is kind of dark.
It works for a werewolf too.
That's what I'm saying. It kind of sets the mood for the story. So, because even in the parts where like he was not, he was Jack Russell or whatever. I mean, it was still everything going on around him was kind of dark. So I think it's kind of reflected in the colors and the frames.
Yeah, that's a good assessment.
So,
that is pretty much the entirety of the comic. We've talked cover, we've talked art, we've talked story. Now, everyone's favorite part, for some reason, when we do this, is when we talk about the vintage ads. Did you have one or two vintage ads that jumped out at you?
I did.
All right.
My favorite ones were the Slim Jim ad.
Yeah?
Because it tells you that's what you sink your teeth into when you're hungry and you're not a werewolf.
That's right.
Because werewolf doesn't want meat on a stick just served right there in front of you. I guess it has to be like blood pumping and breathing.
Yes, yes. There's an actual ad for Slim Jim, and it says, "What to sink your teeth into when you're hungry and you're not a werewolf." And I've never seen such super targeted ads before. Like, and this comic is about a werewolf, and they've obviously sort of capitalized on that with the Slim Jim ad. And then that's a half-page ad, and I think your other favorite ad was on the second half of the page.
Yeah, it's the second half of the page.
Which was?
The Evel Knievel towels.
Yes.
Because who doesn't want an Evel Knievel towel?
An Evel Knievel, like, beach towel. So they have, like, different sizes of towels featuring Evel Knievel. That's how you know you are in August of 1975. The Evel Knievel towels are just flying off the shelf.
I'm telling you, Evel Knievel was the bomb. I remember when I was little. And then, for the honorable mention, mm-hmm. was the Grit magazine, I guess. Or mm-hmm.
The Grit ad.
Because you make a whole 9 cents profit. And it's got the little boy that kind of looks like, dressed up like a used car salesman in his 40s. With a button-up shirt.
It does say, Grit sells for 25 cents a copy, and you keep nine cents profit. And yeah, they got all the cool things that you can win. With your Grit prizes, you know, you can get the sleeping bag or the bicycle. They got all kind of, which would you pick if you were going to take one of these prizes they have pictured?
Well, who doesn't want the ID bracelet?
They want the ID bracelet? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the handheld camera. That's cool. A little radio.
Because you had to work your way up to that. And I was a really popular kid.
So those are some of the...
I would have probably wanted the baseball glove because I would remember I was pretty much tomboy.
I just noticed there's another Evel Knievel ad on this
Yeah,
page.
Oh, Evel Knievel's all
He's everywhere. He has a poster for you. Anyway, Evel Knievel's everywhere. It's August of 75. These ads are awesome. She liked the Slim Jim ad, the Evel Knievel towels, the Grit. So that is pretty much the entirety of Werewolf by Night, number 32, first appearance of Moon Knight. When we come back from this break, we'll get Helena's final thoughts, and we'll catch you then.
The Fantastic Arts is your guide to the Fantastic Four from the beginning of the Marvel Age of Comics in 1961 onwards.
Each week, Steve Lacy and Andy Leyland cover every issue, spin-off, guest appearance and cameo, and more.
And in 2015, we begin our journey through the decade that tastes forgot. The 1970s.
Join us as we take a look at
the departure of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee,
the Kree-Skrull War,
the arrival of Marvel Team-Up,
Bill Murray as the Human Torch,
creators including Roy Thomas, George Perez, Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, Rich Buckler and John Byrne,
and of course Marvel 2-in-1.
All this and more at ffcast.libsyn.com and on iTunes and Stitcher. Insert catchy tagline here. Wait, what?
And welcome back from the break. Hope you enjoyed that podcast promo. I'm sure that whatever it is was a good show. All right. So here we are. Helena, Werewolf by Night, number 32. August of 1975. First appearance of Moon Knight. From a pure just entertainment value on a scale of 1 to 10, you would give it a...
About 7.5 or 8.
A solid showing for Werewolf by Night. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely would you be, like, if we had issue 33, how much would you want to read it to see what happened next?
You said 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Probably about 9. I'd be reading it. It was pretty interesting.
And see, that speaks well of the creators, that they wrote a book that hooked you enough at the end that you were interested.
It was very well written. Whoever wrote it did a good job.
Oh, I'll tell you who wrote it. it was written by, and he has a hard name to pronounce. I think it's Doug Munch.
Munch.
Yeah.
It's German name.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's written a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. He's kind of famous for his run on, I know him a lot from the Shang-Chi comic books, Master of Kung Fu, another big
Very good writer.
Yeah, he did a great job. So that is it for today. I want to thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And... let's just do the wrap up. As usual, folks, you can always follow the show on Twitter at Normies Podcast, or you can follow me personally at Yard Sale Artist. You can follow the show on Facebook at Comics with Normies, or me personally at Yard Sale Artist. You can check out this show and all the other great shows on the White Rocket Entertainment Network, which you can find on iTunes, or you can go to whiterocket.podbean.com. Do you have anything you need to plug while you're here, Helena? Do you have any online endeavors? Or anything like that? This is now is your chance to plug anything that you have going on.
I don't right now, actually.
No? You don't want to sell your soaps or your gardening?
I don't have soap cigar. I do sell Scentsy.
She does sell Scentsy. So you can get out there in the Scentsy world, and that's all done locally though, isn't it? She was like,
nope, Scentsy. I have a website, MickeyMouseMom@Scentsy.us.com.
MickeyMouseMom.
Scentsy.us.com.
If you need any Scentsy products, and I mean, who wouldn't like to have a nice aroma going on while you're reading your comic books? It'd create a nice atmosphere. So check her out. Order some Scentsy. She'd appreciate it. Thanks for being here, and you guys keep reading comics, and I'll find someone who doesn't. This episode's outro music is a jam called Benay Beat. This music and all other sound engineering for Comics with Normies is provided by musical genius Joe November. Be sure to check Joe out on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud at Joseflin99. That's JOSEFLIN99. You won't regret it. As a reminder, folks, if you have any comments or questions, or if you just want to follow us on the social media, you can follow us over on Twitter at Normies Podcast, NORMIES Podcast. You can also follow me personally over on Twitter. I am at Yard Sale Artist. Or if you're more of a Facebook kind of person, you can follow us at Comics with Normies. That's our podcast page. Or you can follow me personally at Yard Sale Artist. Again, questions, comments, just want to be part of the show, let me know. I'm happy to read the comments and the questions that we get on future episodes.